Convene the meeting of the Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission here on February the 17th of the year 2011. We have a quorum here of members to do business. And let me just check and see, is there any new member on the telephone call here now? I've got Lynette, Janine, Terry Bulver. Anyone else? Hearing none, we'll go ahead here with the meeting. Everybody have a chance to look at the agenda? Anybody have any additions that they'd like to include? Hearing none, why don't we just proceed then with the agenda then? Minutes from last month's meeting.
They're actually November and December.
They're both in here. Okay. Maybe we want to take a couple of minutes and have an opportunity to review those because we haven't had a chance to get those in advance here. So, Jason, just one question for you. You're being quoted here in the minutes as saying that you believe that the Department of Revenue is going to be going to full ECRVs by midsummer.
Yes.
That's what I remember, but is that... That's what... Okay.
Yeah, and I'll re-explain what
you can. Is. You can explain, but I just wanted to make sure the minutes reflected... Yep.
More appropriately, it should say full ECRV would be available for counties to begin using. So that's a dialogue between counties and revenue.
Short meeting.
Can you book this through?
I thought I'm sorry, your name is
Renee.
Not through you, Renee. It was through Margaret, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I'm Diane, by the way.
Hi. I feel really bad. I'm sorry. Are you guys just setting up to start right now?
Yep. Yeah.
But, underway.
Let me see if there's another room open because it's not on either of our calendars.
Okay.
So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to her a while ago about, meetings for the next year.
Keep going there.
Yeah.
Do I hear any motions concerning the minutes from November and the December meeting?
I move approval of minutes for November and December.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the November-December minutes. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from November 18th and December 16th of last year. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved. Let's go on to an ECRV update. And we've got Jason here from the Department of Revenue to kind of give us an update on what's going on. Well, I guess we're...
We swapped rooms.
Oh, good. We did.
Good we were job. Supposed to be over there. And you know, anyway, I thought they were over here.
So they're going to go over there?
Yeah, they're over there.
Okay.
Well, we were booked over there. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So no worries.
Same room, just opposite luck.
Yeah.
Well, we can record with the stars, and we can dance with the best of them, right? Anyway, Jason, are you ready, or do we need to...
Yes, I am ready.
Okay. I might just add, Jason did come to the conference for the MACO gathering here in January. He was ready to present some good material. We got running a little bit long, and Jason didn't get the chance to present his PowerPoint, but he did get to make a short pitch at the end of our session. So I do appreciate very much Jason and the Revenue Department participation and willingness to continue to help us promote and push ER among our county colleagues.
We're trying to get the...
I don't think that matters. So, but, I mean, it could be that, but... Oh, there it is. Perfect.
No, that's about as focused as we are. So. thank you, Mike. And so I will give you a quick overview. I'm not going to go through this in detail, but this is the slideshow that I'm basically giving to counties. And I've been going to counties and regional meetings where the assessors are meeting in regional meetings. And so this just might be useful to for you to see this, and I think it'll also give the update as well to the group. So this computer, however, is very
old. It's old and small.
This. 8-bit or 4-bit? 2-bit?
All right, well, I can't get that. Wow, this thing really is slow. This whole time we've been waiting for it to open PowerPoint. That's how slow it is.
I don't know. They were. Trim was trying to work on it, or tech was. Person was trying to work on it to get some. Get it to go faster. But.
So I've told it to actually go to full screen. That's what we're waiting for now. however, that full screen basically says there's two bullet points on there, and. Those are the two bullet points that are the ECRV update, and that is one, that e-recording use of ECRV is available now, and that was the case that we've been at for a while. There we go. And we just had Cass County send us their ECRV contribution, and so they likely are going to be going to e-recording very, very shortly. The full list I can give to Diane after the meeting, but... we've got Anoka County, Blue Earth, Clay, hopefully Cass very shortly, Lyon, Martin, Olmsted, Pope, Steele, Wabasha, all in doing e-recording. Washington and Sherburne have logins and are waiting testing of the new version. Dakota is in production. Hennepin also has logins and is awaiting the new version. And a few of those counties that are in e-recording will also be testing the new version. And so what the new version is the rewrite of ECRV is proceeding rapidly. And what I reported that was in the minutes before is that version for counties for some counties to go to production on will happen at the end of July. Now, it's possible it could happen earlier than that. and because Jim Biggs' team is making very good progress. And so we're going to be testing that new version in advance of that production date with a number of counties. And that testing will begin by early April. In fact, there's a demonstration that's going to happen inside of DOR to show us those pieces all in place. One of the things that you need to have in the testing version is not the county's piece is working, the state piece is working, but they have to redo the submit piece as well. And that's the front-end form, because without that, you can't get test data in to go through the county workflow cycle. So that work is proceeding very, very well. So I have a very high confidence level that we will be able to add more counties to production at the end of July than Dakota. The second bullet on this slide is that we have a date for going live with the form, the front-end form, statewide. And so we're going to use the same process that e-recording is using, essentially, to make the form available to everyone statewide, no matter which county there is a sale in. And the only difference from e-recording is that we don't care if they, you know, send the resulting ECRV to the county in an e-recording packet or just simply print it out and bring it to the counter. So one thing that process will do is, one, serve notice to all counties that, hey, this is the form that everyone needs to get on board with and be aware of and so forth, and that's what I've been communicating. And the second is that, well, when you're ready, then you can make that process even easier by getting logins and joining the full ECRV process so you don't have to print it and continue it like paper. So the December 1 date was just what Jim's development team was on board of saying that the front-end form would be, you know, revised and ready for. Now, he is probably going to tell me that it's going to be ready earlier than that. But I'm not going to change this marketing message at the moment because I don't want to, you know, keep people going up and down. So right now, that's the date, and that's where we're going to make that form available. Other people are going to wind up using it ahead of that.
Will revenue at that time be discontinuing the sale of their four-part form?
We cannot, I think, reasonably say that no one can submit a CRV using the existing carbon copy form. After we go, I think this is what this date also helps establish, though, is the process for being able to do that. So the first thing you need is you need to have a viable alternative, and you need to have it in production. That's what this date establishes.
Okay.
The second thing is you have to show that it's working and not having problems. So I would say after that December 1 frame, you know, give it a couple months, and after a couple months, you know, we see that adoption is happening and that people are fairly satisfied with it, maybe at that point, meaning this time next year, we'll be able to say, all right, we're going to say that the current paper form should not be used after this date. For sake of argument, say December 31st, 2012.
So in our new world of version control, DOR may not be supporting the four-part form about a year from now.
From the December 31st. I would say that's the earliest rational date that you could imagine that happening.
Okay.
So, Jason, that would hopefully include the file sharing that we talked about when he came out to Anoka County, because we wouldn't be interested in seeing you phase out the paper form if you weren't ready to be able to do the file sharing with us, so we didn't have to type in all of the
So let's cover those pieces. So one of the things is that you wouldn't want to, we want to move all counties to be having logins and interacting with the full ECRV system as rapidly possible. That the form live date is really just that the front end form is available for submitters and they're bringing in paper to the county, right? And that's really not where we want to stay. We want to get all counties to log in. So I don't think it's rational to think that we could maybe just, you know, kill the old paper form in advance of having the full system available to counties. However, we want to get there as soon as possible.
Yep.
So as part of that process, what Larry is saying is that there is features that have been out of scope previously, and by that I mean officially from the ECRB steering team, that download of data and upload of data. So upload from county CAMA systems into the ECRB system, say for assessment data and so forth, and download of ECRB data back to the CAMA system on the county level. That has been placed in scope during January by the steering team, and Jim's team hasn't given us a timeline of when those features would be available, and they are not tied to the summer release that I talked about. However, I think that they will get them moving as quickly as they can. And so there may be some counties that say, we don't want to have the login process until, and Hennepin might be one of those counties, Anoka might be one of those counties. There might be other counties that are in that way that they do not want to use the login portion of ECRB, what I call the full ECRB system, until at least the download feature is in place.
Okay.
Hopefully that's clear, because I know it's difficult sometimes to follow all those pieces.
Well, let me just emphasize why that's important, because if that piece of it isn't available, there's going to be extra overhead for the counties to have to type information into the full ECRB system instead of just uploading it from your CAMA system. And so our assessor's office isn't really too excited about doing that, and I don't blame them, because it does add additional overhead, which we really can't afford in this environment. So we still have to send them the full file anyway, and until we, and as long as we're doing that, there really isn't a need, from our perspective anyway, to type additional information into the full ECRB system. We want to be able to upload the data that's required in that system before we fully utilize it. Otherwise, we're just going to continue on with the having them print out the paper or use the PDF feature or give us the number or whatever, so that we get a copy of it in our end before we start using the system.
And I think from my perspective, from what I see, is that that calculation can be different for every county, because there's savings that might happen through using ECRB in some situations, and then there may be some additional data entry in other situations. So, and right now, Dakota is doing double entry to use the system. So, so to recap, and that's what the rest of these slides are. There's only 12 of them, but I go walk through the e-recording piece and let counties know that it's available now and that counties must register. Submitters do not have to register anymore, so we're stopping. We've stopped that. And I've had a submitter or two already ask, hey, I want to register, and I've had to respond saying, no, you don't need to do that anymore. So, the county prints it, and here's a diagram for that, which you've all seen before. And then I show them the bottom of the form, so that they're, because this is the piece I need, you know, counties need to know that they can use this form. And that's the big worry, is that, you know, by December 1, will all counties know that this is the form that they can get and that it's acceptable and they should use it? And, in fact, it's preferred. December 1, it should be the preferred form. And then I answer some questions reminding them that the PE20 and the PE20A are combined. And even though you're saying it's for e-recording, if the county gets it printed out and receives it as paper, yes, they can accept that. And that's exactly what we're setting up for that December date for everyone statewide. Can they retrieve the ECRB online? And the answer to that is no. Until a county has signed up for the full ECRB, or until Jim's team has upgraded the front-end form to use version 2, when they do that, it means it'll be in the right database, and when it's in the right database, then that, yes, they can retrieve it. But the truth is until a county can log in and accept it online, we don't want people to retrieve ECRVs, because they aren't representative sales until the county says they're accepted for a sale. So until a county is using the full system, no one can retrieve an ECRV online, because there might be lots of bad ECRVs that don't represent real sales. And we have no control over what the counties are, that control mechanism.
anyone have any question about that?
So you're saying that submitters don't need to log, get a login anymore. They can just use
the
system.
Well, they never have a login.
Okay, but they can just use it.
Yeah.
Any submitter.
At December 1.
Yes.
Yes, any submitter can use it to a county that has e-recording or full.
Okay.
Yes. In December 1, they'll be able to do it to any county.
Right.
But they won't be able to retrieve their ECRV online after the fact unless a county's using the full system.
Right.
Because only after the fact will the county actually accept an ECRV for processing. And then I just cover the form live piece, which essentially is all the same stuff, so I'm not going to read all that. You know, the diagram's a little different that the submitter prints it instead of puts it into an e-recording packet. And then the county proceeds with paper process, or if the county wants to get their logins and start using the full ECRV, they can get the advantage of that. And so, you know, at that point, then that'll be my job, is to try to make sure that all the counties are getting logins and using the full system. And then again, I show, you know, the bottom of the form is the same. This is an example of the version 2 search screen that counties would have. So a county login user would come in here and they would select their criteria for displaying CRVs that have been accepted, and then you can click on the individual ones to edit. So this is an early version, an iteration of the version 2 application. So it is functioning, and it's functioning in this way. We're going to encourage all submitters to use that front end form by December 1, and they print it and send it to the county, or the county has to have logins. And same kind of questions in terms of the PE20A and accepting the old paper forms. And the submitter, though, unless the county has logins, they have to print the ECRV or save that PDF and get it to the county one way or the other. We don't care how they get it. And again, just as before for the whole system, submitters can't edit their ECRVs, they have to resubmit. And again, the retrieval question we just went through, and counties, that by December 1, any county that wants to get logins can just talk to me, and we can get them logins. And that's it. And I just want to thank all the counties again that have been forward-looking and working to get on ECRV, so that's the message. And CAS should be added to that list here very shortly this week.
Jason, a question that you may want to share with the submitters, the status of their being able to enter and save data so that they can come back later and complete it. What's the status of that possible item?
Well, I can tell you, I mean, technically, I think that was also added to scope.
So
it's in the same status as the download upload. So, and Jim has a good way that I think it'll be enabled, which I'll share with you in a second. So the answer is it hasn't been scoped out in terms of how long it'll take to implement, and I don't think they'll do that work until they get done providing the version 2 that Dakota can move over to and other counties can sign out. So technically, those features wouldn't be worked on until after July 31st. Practically, I think they will be worked on before July 31st. And the way that it would work, the answers are, remember I brought up the issue about a template as being a concern? And I think that the way Jim's team, I think it's a very good idea that they have, which is that you would fill out a CRV, and instead of saving it to your local disk, it would get saved to the revenue server, and you would be given a temporary PIN password. And that password is good for a certain number of days, say a month, say 30 days. And you can log back in and retrieve the CRV you've been working on. But after the 30 days, it expires. So you can't really use them as a template. But you can go in there and fill one out partially and then save it, get your temporary password, and then come back in for closing the next week and finish it up, and then and go on your merry way. So I think that I think the design of it will work very well and answer the concerns that revenue was having, and also provide the feature to the submitter community in doing that. But when exactly that feature would be actually completed and available, it'll be sometime after the version 2 is made available for more counties to sign on.
Okay. That will be, I think, well received by submitters.
Yeah.
And then I just add what I have heard from my assessor's office, and this was coming from Jim Biggs' team to them, so now I'm... or about third-hand hearsay,
yes,
is that they told me that it was added to the scope.
Yeah, I think you're
and right. That they could tell submitters that it was going to happen so that they wanted submitters to know they have heard and they are going to work on it. So now that's third-hand hearsay that I've heard from my assessor through Jim Biggs and
your
team.
I can confirm that for the minutes. Not just that you heard it third hand, but
sounds good. Okay. That's, I think, also very good. Good. Other questions for Jason here, any of the members? Anybody else have any question further for Jason?
Jason?
Yes.
Is it possible that we can get a count? Do you just want to save it to the desktop?
I'll
or
just,
is that
I'll
possible?
Drag it to the desktop.
Okay.
May take
10 minutes. Our fancy equipment. We can post it to the ERERC website, you know, for under the meeting archive materials for reference.
Okay. Jason, thank you very much. Again,
thank
Jim Biggs and his team, and also the rest of your colleagues over there at Revenue. I'm appreciating that things are moving along systematically, probably never as fast as we all want, but they're moving along, and I think that's very encouraging. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike, your commission.
Yep. Why don't we move on to subcommittee reports. We don't have Jeff here this month, so we don't have a trusted submitter report, so I will pass on that one. And let's just go on to the county recorder. This is our subcommittee that we've empowered to take a look at the document request to add more documents so that we can electronically record more. And I know that they have been busily meeting Mr. Deline, Ms. Trombo, and Ms. Basilisi. And
busy struggling.
And I think they've got something they want to share with us, and perhaps we can have a little dialogue about it and maybe come up with some direction that we can give them to go back. But I think they're making some progress to try and find a way to get, A, the rest of the uniform conveyancing blanks included to be able to be on the list, and then some of the other types of documents that Rob and others have at least asked us to take a look at going forward. So with that, I'll turn it over to the subcommittee. And
well, I can start. I apologize to the group that I emailed out a spreadsheet and I didn't realize that it had so many tabs on it. So the important pages that we're going to look at today are really 2 and 3 of 27. So sorry, Diane. We killed a few extra trees today, but that's the way it goes sometimes. As you recall, we originally had kind of a bucket concept, and I think we had, I don't know how many there were, 11 or 12 different categories, sort of in line with the categories that were online at the time we started on the Commerce Department's UCB forms, because they had some categorization of the forms that they were dealing with at that point in time. It wasn't a complete set because the UCB team was going through the forms and updating a bunch of them at that point in time. So it was really missing a lot of them. And going through this process of trying to add to what we already had started, got to be kind of frustrating because the documents didn't seem to be necessarily fitting in any of those buckets real well. Some of them did, some of them didn't. And so I think that we would like to have a discussion about maybe thinking about doing away with 11 or 12 buckets and just having the list of documents like seems to be prevalent in other states with a code associated with each one, and then what is required as far as data elements for each document. And I think Pam said we could fit that into the PREA framework somehow, and then she could work her magic and get that piece of it done. So I put together this spreadsheet just kind of showing how it would look. And now after Pam and Chris reviewed it, Pam suggested that maybe we could start condensing this list, because if you look, we've got, you know, over a half a page of affidavits there. Well, do we really need to have that many affidavits? Quite a few of them. The first ones start out to be affidavits of federal state tax liens. The next one is an affidavit as to federal tax liens. And so maybe we could just have affidavit related to state and federal tax liens instead of having so many categories. And we could probably condense some of the others. And then down, there are a few items that are gray. The gray ones really are some areas where we thought we could put some catch-all things in there. Like, as an example, we've got two different kinds of affidavits there. Affidavit other, which means that it really is for some affidavit that isn't already covered in this list. With reference, meaning with reference number, or with legal. That's why there's two different kinds, because if it has a reference number, if it's referencing a previously recorded document, the recording requirements the data requirements are somewhat different for that document than they would be with one that has the legal. So I think this might make it easier for the recording community to understand and instead of trying to deal with those buckets. I still like that concept, but it got to be too difficult to try to fit all the documents in there. So we're hoping that if we take what Rob gave us and others have given us and all the uniform conveyancing blanks, we can boil this down and have a pretty decent list of documents that should work here in Minnesota, plus try to come up with some generic spots as well, so that if you have a document that the title doesn't quite fit one of these, you could have a generic place to put it. So that's kind of what we're proposing to do, and if you guys don't like that, we'll keep struggling with trying to fit things in the buckets. So I don't know that we were totally in agreement in this in our discussions, because Pam puts on her vendor hat and Chris and I put on our recorder hats, and so we had some really interesting discussions about how this could work. But it is frustrating, and I think that the important thing is that we'd like to be able to get to the point where we have a good enough list that we really don't need to revisit this very often, so that the list is large enough and also generic enough in cases that we have documents that don't fit very well, that people can find a place to put them in it, and it's clear to everybody what the data requirements are for each document that you want to submit. Pam, Chris, do you want to add?
I think Larry covered it very well. It's, yeah. Well,
because we probably spent about, was it three sessions or two? 6 hours discussing this, I think, at least.
We struggle a lot with how we were going to group this.
Yeah.
That was our biggest. Was it by document title, similar document title, the purpose, the content, the requirements? So we struggled a lot with that.
And then Pam showed some listings from other states that we took a look at, how they were doing it. And one of the things to note is most states use some of the PREA standards, but they don't always follow the PREA standards. So know that that's out there too. When you hear everyone saying they follow the PREA standards, plus and minus. So
not good.
But that's
you didn't hear that, Kay.
but you know, we have to know that that's the reality that's out there too. So.
Well, what I certainly have seen since we promulgated the original set is the confusion between the doc type and the doc names. And a lot of our colleagues, I think, have been very confused about the 11 categories and then the doc names listed afterwards. What you got that, man? They're confused about that. They don't understand that. And I've kind of quit trying to explain it. So I do empathize with the frustration that people have got. I clearly hear from the legal community, you know, we want to rely on those uniform conveyancing blanks because they're kind of the be-all and the end-all from the legal community. They say, if you're using a uniform conveyancing blank, you're supposed to have everything in there that's in there, or you're not supposed to be saying it's a uniform blank because the attorneys can rely on the information that's in the approved form that's on the document. Now, I understand people change those from time to time and still probably leave uniform conveyancing blank at the top in this day and age when we've got all the technology we've got to change documents. But I think having something that still relates to that is probably important for that community. And then for our submitter community, finding what you have, a generic title. I mean, I don't want to get to the point where everybody puts all of their documents in that generic category. That wouldn't be good either. But, you know, to help facilitate recording for those that know their business, I kind of like that idea and having that concept, because then you can identify which elements are important for that document class so that we can get submission of electronic data that we can pre-populate our indexes with. Because I think that's what's important, at least on the recording side, to help do the speeding, the turnaround of the document recording and getting them back to customers so that we eliminate gap periods and make sure customers can keep tabs on your 30-day requirements so you don't get penalized from your banks for not getting things recorded in time and all of that sort of stuff. An alphabetical listing of names, I don't know that that's any less I think it's probably less confusing for at least our members than what we've got out there now. But what about submitters?
I'd like to add one more thing. It does also have some advantages from the back-end processing for the auditor-treasurer folks, because it's easier for them to then identify which documents they need to worry about as far as a transfer document, those that require mortgage registration and D-tax. If you have a more specific name for the documents, because then they can build a table in their system and use the document code that we come up with and code it to their system and then have it go where it needs to go in order to make name changes, as an example, for ownership and tax statements and to collect taxes and to make sure that if it's a transfer document, that the taxes are paid, or, you know, all those current things that go into it. Because I did get some feedback from some of my staff and from some other people regarding what we were doing and how that was causing them, could cause them some issues if they tried to automate what it is that they were doing. So.
And that would be good to help our auditor treasurer colleagues
in
that sense? Yeah.
Yep.
Question, when you identified the codes.
I just made those up.
Where did those come from? Okay.
I'm not hung up on four. I just, you know, we're used to four in our county, but if six makes it easier to come up with a code, I've got no issues at all with reassigning those.
I was going to ask, was there a reason you did an alpha coding rather than a numeric coding?
Yes, because it makes it just a little bit easier, I think, to have some
to connect
assimilation to what it really is. Whereas if it's a number, I don't like numbers. I mean, we used to have numbers associated with documents or with codes in the system, and until you got to memorize that 1234 was a warranty deed, where if you got something like WDEE. It has a little more meaning as to what the title really was. So,
a faster training tool for
right.
people coming on board.
Yep.
Okay.
But, you know, if people want to use a number, I can certainly accommodate for that, but I don't think that's the best way to go. And Pam showed us a couple of examples from some other states where they kind of used this similar concept where they had an alphabetical listing and they had a document code associated with it. And I don't know. I think it makes some sense. I really did kind of want to do the buckets, but I think this makes it easier for people to figure out.
It's more apparent from the get-go what document they'll be using. You know, they just didn't like looking deep and then looking to see what was encompassed under that.
Yeah.
Because you still ended up having to have a list of them anyway to right. show what was in each bucket, so why not just use the list?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing to know, what we're doing different from other states is we're actually going down to the level of whether the reference document is required or illegal is to try to imply it in
right.
our codes, where other states don't do that. So we're going to a more detailed level of defining something, which that's another thing we're struggling with. And affidavits is a prime example because sometimes it requires a reference and sometimes it doesn't. So now you have two things you have to deal with to identify that. So And our business rules with Dean doing the schemas, that's kind of what was driven out of that. So, you know, that's just another thing added on to our struggling.
He'll have challenges trying to do a schema for that?
Well, once we define it, his job's pretty easy. But his job is making our job a little harder. And it's not really harder, it's just that you have to remember that you have to account for a reference document or a legal PIN. Okay. Whereas other states don't. You kind of find that out as you submit it, and you either get an error back saying you didn't put that in or not.
Mm-hmm. From submitter's perspective, Alan, it's kind of getting you all at once. I don't know, you may want to take this back to your folks, too, and take a look at, but How do you react to the possible change of this type of nature?
We can accommodate both, and anytime you bring more doc types, we cheer.
That's what you're waiting for, right? That's all we ever hear from now.
So the fact that you have a
I think that's pretty consistent from all the submitters here, Larry. I'm hearing that loud and clear.
So by way of the list and the qualifications, it makes it easy on our end because we can set it up in a one-time format. We can do a drop-down so that you can start to type out A, and then the A's appear, and then you can easily select that.
Yep.
The only thing that's just a little bit ironic is that some submitters that see both states have, like, the condensed list of the shorter, the 11.
The 11?
Yeah, that's correct. But you don't get this level of detail if you do that.
No, because you still then have to decide, well, which one of the 11 do I use? And
right.
You still have to look at the list and figure that out.
Yeah. So there's pros and cons. We can accommodate both.
Yep.
Three cheers for more doc types.
Yeah. Pam, you've had a lot of experience dealing with submitters on this. And is this going to help submitters? More doc types will,
yes. Yeah, a lot of it depends on how the GUI is set up, too. You know, it depends on what they have to do to select it. You know, a lot of companies can have it so that their document title will drive what falls out for the document type and the code versus the user having to decide, well, for Minnesota, what document type is this, too. So that a lot of it depends on their
process.
Their system. Yeah. I know that when I was doing submitting, a lot of times you had a document that didn't fall into any of the buckets and you just didn't know where it went because a lot of the buckets were very generic, very generalized. So you'd have to call the county and they'd go, oh, well, put it under this one or something like that. Yeah. So too few, unless you call it other. Others always, you know, everything's under other. But too few, pros and cons, you know. too many, then people get confused and they're submitting under the wrong thing, and then the county's always having to fix it. So I think one of the things that we have to agree to is, how do we categorize these documents? Do we do it based on title, like affidavits? Do we do it based on purpose, on end result? What is the best way to categorize that? And I think based on that, everything will fall into place, because then other documents, we can see where they fall. And then whether we put it into buckets or codes after that, we'll know based on the groupings. But how does the state want to group these documents? What's the easiest way for someone to understand where this document fits?
You know, the longer I'm in this business, the more I find that we're circling back to the old way of, we've got the book of deeds, mortgages, and miscellaneous.
I've mentioned that a few times.
You have.
Yeah.
It keeps hitting me as we go through this more and more.
And we came across the tax bill.
And miscellaneous, do I think.
Oh, yeah, miscellaneous is the third, right. Yeah, we got it.
We came across the tax bill versus non-taxable, tax exempt. So that was another route we could take. You could do deed taxable. Deed no tax, deed exempt, go down that route, and then all deeds would fall under that category, depending on whether they were taxable or not.
And our auditor treasurer colleagues probably like that. The witch bill?
We need something. We need a code or a type just to send it into the county.
Right, which is a category.
Oh, I probably mixed up. Code, category, type, all terminology, but it can be the same thing or mixed. We need at least one. We could have two. If we go by PREA, you could even do three if you wanted to. But at least one grouping. There's another word I just threw out. Somehow we have to identify the same documents and put them in a bucket so we can name it. So that when people go to send documents to the county, that is what the name is of that document. And the county goes, oh, it's this document coming in. This is what has to be done to it.
The best illustration of that right now is the counties that are live with the CRV. We have deeds with no CRV, deeds with CRV. That's illustrating. So there's a different workflow when it hits the county.
Right.
But deciding how condensed you can have that obviously is going to be more efficient as you're doing your report.
Right. And the with or without CRV, that helps on your side for submitting for requirements. Because then the user can't submit if they said, oh, it requires a CRV, then you at least know, well, you got to attach one. You have to have a number. So
that's pretty important for the auditor treasurer, too.
Yep.
It's a matter of, where's that decision going to be made? Is it going to be the person receiving the document, the e-record document, looking at it and going, oh, that's taxable, we got to send it this way? Or the submitter can drive it based on what they enter as the code.
Oh, right. So can we automate our systems more on the county end by doing the second? Yeah. And it's more beneficial to the counties.
You can route it. You can put your own business rules in. You can. There's lots of things you can do, as long as the submitter does it right. You know, obviously, if they're entered it wrong, then it's...
Or if they always choose other and it's not supposed to be there.
Right.
Or if
they always say...
That's a problem.
Right. Or they say, deed no tax or deed exempt, you have to look at that document. And you do. You still have to look at the document coming in, because what if they did it wrong? Mm-hmm. So, it's been lots of discussion.
It's been fun.
Well, I appreciate the work that's gone on. I don't know that I can do it any better than what you've all come up with, to be very honest with you. I don't know if any others of you have got thought about that. I don't have any clairvoyance to know for sure what's the best way to go, but I think the confusion that we had before when we had the 11 and then still the name for everyone, we may as well just go with the name from what I in that sense, I think it's more understandable for everybody, and they don't understand why you got the other thing there. And then we're just getting into, if you've got the name of the document, then what is it you need to be submitting for that doc type,
right,
or that doc name, or that
whatever you want to call it,
whatever you're calling it, code or
sorry, I should have
however you
used a bunch of general terms.
That's exactly where we're trying to get, is to, you know, so everybody knows what to send in, and,
yep,
and we know what to expect on the receiving end.
And then for submitters that submit 50 or 60% of their document types under other, we'll all have to send back and say.
And more realistically, as I see it, if you just got a list like this and those codes, the people that regularly do it, at least my office has the same person pretty much submitting all the time.
You're going to come.
For the most part, she's only going to be using 6, 8, 10, 12 of these documents.
Yeah.
And when it's one something else, she's going to have to hunt back, no matter how you do it a little bit.
And that's really and what our staff has
right
to do, too, and we get them. Same thing.
But they'll get used to which ones they do regularly, and they'll know the four-digit code, if that's or number,
six
whatever it is.
Yeah,
and if a system like Dalen's allows, if you put in W, it's already a good start towards warranty deed. I think it's you're on the right track, just the way it looks right now.
Alan?
Just by way of information, when we sign up a submitter, we train them on using the system. So it's not like they're guessing on a website to try to get to other.
Yep.
And we're constantly reinforcing, if you need to get that document recorded efficiently and quickly, then you select the doc type. So, I mean, there's some check and balances in place to try to steer them away from other. All my experience is that that would be by far the exception, not the rule, to use another.
Okay. Bill, is this going to help?
No, as a matter of fact, it's our system has a, from what I've seen, ours and others have the ability to decode as you go along.
Yep.
When you start keying in letters like, you know, M-O-R, it's already anticipating for you and helping you get to the right word. And so this is fine. I would agree with Larry. I would prefer the alpha. Over the numeric code. So it just makes it easier, especially for people that are not familiar with the code.
Okay.
This is fine. This is great.
Well, our commission members, we ask them to go back and continue down the path that they've started and try and come up with the other categories that will encompass enough so that we can add most documents into one bucket or another.
Well,
are we comfortable with that?
It would be obvious as to where they should go.
Yeah.
Where we
want to
end up.
Bob, you're okay?
Yeah.
Am, I think you're okay with this, but you've spent more time on this than any of us, so. Terry, you're out there still?
I am.
Are you okay if we send the group back to keep working on this and maybe bring it back, hopefully, to our next meeting?
Yes, fine with me.
Well, why don't we, I don't think we need a resolution on this, but I certainly thank the committee for your work. Thanks for the education, and thanks to the rest of you for your thoughts and questions and input. So thank you very much, group. Good discussion.
And you said you're not going to have a meeting in March?
We'll get to that on the agenda.
Well,
but
if you don't,
it probably would be April that we would hope to hear back from you. Let's put it that way now.
Good, I think that we should.
We'll give you 2 months to hear back from you.
A good handle on it in 2 months. If it was March, it would be a little tough, but I think because Chris, you know, she has to come down here all the time anyway.
She'll just report
she
in.
She has a room in a nunnery now. So and plus she's got a room in my office to go do her homework.
Do her homework.
The work room.
We're going to have a new song, Sister Chris, huh? Anyway, well, thank you to the subcommittee. I appreciate the good hard work there, and we'll we'll look forward to reviewing an update on this at an April meeting then. Let's do that. So, good. Next item on our agenda, MACO conference update. We've got several folks that were there for our gathering in January, and I just want to express my appreciation again to the participants from the industry. Dallin, you did a nice job, had a nice little PowerPoint for us to use that simplified electronic recording and a number of cartoons for everybody to see and have a little chuckle over, and probably gave himself an advertisement too, but it was there. But thank you, Dallin. Nice job. And Marty was there from Edina, and Marty did a nice job just reminding people why it's important and what we're doing. Janelle was there. Janelle did a nice job, as always. Bill, as always, Bill, we let him go first. Bill did a nice job and basically coming at it again to remind everybody to get in touch with your technology company, and they can make electronic recording very simple and easy for everybody, and why it was important and so forth. So I thought that the message was well received, and I've gotten several counties that are telling me that they're signing up or they're doing electronic recording. I got one today that I'll forward to all of you, but LeSueur County tells me they've been doing electronic recording for quite some time and they're not on the list. So please put us on the list. Anyway.
Did you get any feedback from anybody at the conference that was it received? Was it beneficial, helpful?
Yes, I did. I heard from Sharon Anderson up in Cass, who's adding to the list to start recording, and she's an auditor treasurer, and it was fun to see her there and see her interested in it. Unfortunately, we didn't have too many auditor treasurers there, but they had a competing session at the same time, and we didn't do a very good job of planning on that, but that was certainly nice to see and hear from. Kay, I don't know if you're one of our colleagues.
I think we needed to have them there, and it's unfortunate. It wasn't our planning hiccup. It was Banco's planning hiccup, basically. And so it's disappointing that they weren't there. They needed to be there, and I think that would have, with the panel, that would have been the perfect session for them. They would have seen it in a different perspective, and I would really like to almost do this again next year at the winter conference. We could maybe throw another twist to it, but just even doing it, it got other counties more involved in it. But we definitely have to have the auditor treasurers present at one of these sessions.
Okay, you're even making me think that if the auditor treasurers have a gathering in the summer, if some of that same team would be interested in going, even if it's an auditor treasurer conference, symposium or institute or whatever we call them nowadays, I don't think that would be time unwisely spent on any of the participants' part if we could convince the auditor treasurers that ought to be on their agenda. Yep. People, Marty, like you and Janelle and Bill and Dallin, I'm assuming you'd be more than willing to do a little soft shoe number again.
Would that be McCaffo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where's that at? And what?
It's at Rutgers, and it's the third week in June.
It's right after the recorders.
The week after the recorders, yes.
Fran Winchell is the president. He's from Rice County.
Oh, Fran, great guy.
And they do have to have their speakers, their education lined up by April 1, so the agenda's going to come together pretty quick.
Maybe we should put a request in to Fran. We could do that.
We could ask our auditor treasurer member of the committee here, huh?
Fran just found out today that he had to have that done, so he's going to be looking for speakers, so today'd be a good day to hit him up.
Hit him up? Well, we've got a good panel group for him, I'll tell you. They're very professional. Would the auditor treasurer in the audience here think this would be a good idea, Mr. Deline, to have this group speak to the McCaffco group in June if they were available?
Sure.
Okay. Well, maybe we look at even expediting rather than next January, Kay. Maybe we get something in June.
I think it would be a very good idea.
Yeah.
Very, very good idea.
And I'd even sacrifice Kay, you, and I to come and
just stay up there.
You know, I bet if Janine Barker is still on the phone, I bet Janine might even be willing to come down and tell those auditor treasurers a thing or two about it as well. She'd had enough. I guess she didn't hang on. Okay. Anyway. But anyway, thank you again. I thought it was very productive, and I think it was very helpful. So, again, the more we can do, I think, to promote it among our own county recorders, the better off we're all going to be. So I think that's good. Other business items, and that was the March 17th meeting. And two of us, at least, Kay and I, have conflicts on that particular day. The MACO group is having a retreat that day that I didn't have any responsibility for scheduling, but I'm supposed to be at, and I don't feel that I can miss the MACO thing, and Kay has a retreat that I don't think she can miss that day on another matter as well, so at least the two of us won't be available. And I guess we kind of were thinking when I talked to my colleague Kay that perhaps we could skip the month of March and convene another meeting in April. I'd even like the commission to think about the possibility here in the future that I don't know that we do need to meet monthly, particularly if we can get these document types identified. Going back to, you know, every other month or even perhaps long-term in the future, maybe quarterly is even a possibility on it, as long as we've got the flexibility to convene meetings in between if that were necessary and appropriate. Just a thought on that front. I'm also thinking about that going forward because as the legislative process goes forward with funding, I can only imagine that, you know, our support team over here is going to get pressured with funding issues that we probably don't know about and they don't know about yet. So I think it's something that we need to keep in mind, that if we can minimize some of those meetings, it's probably going to be better for everybody in that sense. And we'll probably know a little bit more in 2 months where we're going to be at funding-wise, or where the at least the disagreements are going to be coming from a greater level, and we can maybe make some decisions about that as well. But that was somewhat what I thought, and if people are comfortable with that, I thought maybe we'd just cancel the March meeting and just continue with our April meeting at this point. Thoughts from commission members? Or
it's fine with me.
Okay. Bill, you...
I guess the only caution I might have is I don't think we want to let up the pressure on DOR to get the ECRV thing done.
Yeah.
So if we can accomplish both at the same time, I'm all for less meetings. But I think it's because we have kept the pressure on, you know, that it's happened as quickly, in quotes, as it has.
Yep. I concur completely. I wouldn't want to do anything to soften the pedal, the leather to the metal, as they say, I guess. But, yeah, no.
Maybe another invitation to report on progress in April.
They have a standing invitation. I've kind of told Jason that we'd like to have a report for each meeting. So, and I don't want to – you may all get bored with it and so forth, but I think it's important for us to let them know that we are all concerned about it, because I think it is a very critical issue for all of us. Yep. Well, if you're okay, we'll cancel the March 17th meeting, and for those of you that plan to do other things on St. Patrick's Day, you'll have that day. You won't have to worry about coming here. For those of you that were looking for that for your excuse to come to St. Paul, I'm sorry we canceled the meeting for you. The Italians will be partying elsewhere. I know, Bill. You'll take care of that, right? Did anybody have any other item or business for the agenda today?
Just a reminder, though, the April meeting is the 14th of April.
14th or the 21st?
April 14th.
Uh-huh.
We and I can't remember what when we did the schedule. Oh, the 21st is the week of Easter. It's the Thursday before Easter, and we decided when we put the schedule together to skip that particular day because the legislature usually has a little recess over the Easter time, and so we decided that we would schedule the meeting the week before then. So that was when we put the original calendar together. That's what it was there for.
Well,
so
I can tell you right now I won't be here that day.
You won't be.
I'll be in my motor home somewhere between here and Arizona.
Call it in.
I'm sure Chris and Pam can.
Or maybe we can hold the meeting on your RV.
Oh, you know?
You're going to be at Sedona looking over the desert there?
I don't know pretty exactly where I'll be on that day, but I'll be somewhere between here and there because I'll actually be on my way back.
Mm. Okay. Okay. Starting to get a little warm down there then.
Yep.
Okay.
But it was the only time we could work it in.
Okay. Anybody have anything else then? If not, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
I move that we adjourn.
It's been moved and
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you all very much.
Bye.
Goodbye now.
Bye.
Forgot to do it at the beginning, so.
Scared me there.
Yeah.